Well, everyone, and thanks for joining us here again at Throwback Reviews Podcast. My name is Sean, and with me, as usual, is my good buddy, Rob Flack O'Hara.
What's going on, my man? How's the weather up there in the Northeast this week?
It's kind of screwed up. It's pretty decent right now. It's going to be like 40 tomorrow, and then we're supposed to get lake effect snow later this week. So it's been such a crazy winter, but I can't complain.
You still got snow up there right now?
No. It's all melted. We got bombed with some snow, and then it was like 40 degree weather again and windy, and it just all evaporated. So I'm ready for full-fledged spring. I'm tired of cold and warmer than cold. I've had enough. But like I said, I can't really complain. It hasn't been too bad as far as this actual accumulation of snowfall.
See, we already had spring. It was 83 degrees on Friday. It was in the 70s, and now we're getting winter. Now it's in the 40s and raining now. So.
Oh, you poor baby. It's winter. It's 44. Oh, my gosh. All right. Enough of your weather. We have a guest tonight. We haven't had a guest in a while, and it's a reoccurring guest. It's one of our good friends from Throwback Network. And one of our favorite podcasts, the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast, Mr. Ferg. What's going on, Ferg?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back. I'm looking forward to this very much.
Are you sure?
And yeah. It's raining here. It's about 40 degrees. It's going to be 50 tomorrow. And that's the weather here from Delaware, pretty much.
All right. Well, that's all of our weather reports.
We should do a episode on retro weather. We just pull up old weather reports and be like, boy, remember that time it was cold in 78? The retro.
Closer to 76.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, no, seriously, thanks for joining us. Rob and I had talked about getting you on, as listeners probably notice, we hardly ever do this show anymore. So
well, you did say once a month.
Yeah. And it's we got about 5 days left in this month. So
right.
Hopefully I'll get this thing edited before March 1st. But
no, we don't screw up at all. So
no, intro went fine.
I was worried about getting it done this month, but then I remembered it's a leap year. So we got that extra day in February.
That's right. Yep.
Oh, nice. Nice. I didn't realize that.
I mean, that people were posting these coupons last year. They're fake on Facebook, and it would say free Big Macs on February 29th or whatever, but they changed it for this year. It says February 30th and 31st.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
And you know who already mentioned it to me? My mother-in-law. She's like, they're having free burgers at McDonald's. And I'm like, oh, love it.
Yeah, pick me up some.
Exactly.
So our episode today, Rob recently went on a cruise around Christmas time. And on that cruise, he talked about it last episode and also on You Don't Know Flack, that on the ship, there was a channel that just played basically the Love Boat nonstop. And Rob, being the obsessive person that he is, that has to have everything, now has the entire collection of the Love Boat. And so that's why we're doing this, to basically please my co-host here.
Well, the cruise I went on was a Princess cruise. And the actual Love Boat was also a Princess cruise, so I guess they have the rights to air it on the ship. So we'll talk about this. I wasn't a big Love Boat fan as a kid, but boy, did I get hooked on that cruise. It was amazing. You got room service. They bring you the food. My wife would say, hey, you know, they're going to have a dance or celebrities. I'm like, are you kidding? We got Jimmy Walker. It's the same episode again. This one's great. God, why would you ever want to leave our little room on this cruise? So, yeah, Sean has agreed to let me do a Love Boat episode. Here's what I did. I did a little bit of back research on the show. I won't take too long, but here's what I found out is that the Love Boat show was actually based on a book that this lady wrote. The name of the book was called The Love Boats, plural, so that's different than the Love Boat. She was a cruise director on a ship, and so she wrote pretty much an R-rated book about all the hookups that take place on the ship, which turns out a lot of those make it into the show too. Anyway, I did find some reviews of that book, but they said one third of it was about her experience with the cruise line, and then one third of it is about her psychic powers, and there's another third about her new business that she started. So I did not get the book, but the book is definitely R-rated. The show, I don't know. Let me ask you guys real quick. What would you think the show would be rated today?
I would say PG-13. Yeah. A lot of jiggling going on the Love Boat.
It's definitely, I definitely noticed how sexual the show is, and that the doc is just swinging it everywhere on every episode. The guy that I would have least expected to be the gigolo
I know. It took me like 10 episodes to figure out that he's supposed to be the sex symbol, the guy with the big Coke bottle glasses and the little high rider bicycle shorts. So anyway, you know, we all are familiar with the Love Boat as a series, but it didn't start out as a series. It started out as a made-for-TV movie called The Love Boat. And here was the original cast. The captain was played by Ted Hamilton. I don't know if you guys know who that is. I know him from the pirate movie. He was on a lot of different shows. The doctor is Dick Van Patten.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are several other people, but there's no. Some of the names are the same. Like the bartender is Isaac, and there's Gopher, and the steward's name is, I don't know if it's Nino or Nino. It's N-I-N-O, but I couldn't find, I wasn't able to track down this pilot, but, so you have the basics of the show. And also this is where they planted the seed. The guest stars on one episode, Don Adams, you guys know, Maxwell Smart, Tom Bosley, should I say who they are? I'll let you can say who they are,
Father
right?
Father Dowling.
Florence Henderson.
Yeah.
Gabe Kaplan. Harvey Korman.
Carol Burnett.
Cloris Leachman. I don't know what she's...
She was on Maude, I think, at that point, wasn't she? Oh, no. Okay. Mary Tyler Moore.
Hal Linden. There you
Barney
go.
Miller.
And so, and there's even more people.
Love Barney Miller.
So... This kind of like set the scene for what the Love Boat would become, but it didn't get good ratings. And one of the things that people said was that there wasn't a lot of chemistry in the crew. So they came back with another TV special. This was in 77 called The Love Boat 2. They named it that because this was the second one. The, they had, an all-new cast. So nobody from the first cast came on this one. On this one, we have the Doc and Gopher and Isaac that would go on later to be on the show. And this was actually filmed on the Pacific Princess, which is the boat that the real Love Boat takes place on. They didn't have as many quality guest stars on this one, though. So they're still trying to figure out, you know, the right formula for the show. But that comes on the third TV special. So this is the third one before we ever get to the show, which was called The Love Boat, The New Love Boat. I don't know why they don't call it The Love Boat 3. They'd already established that naming convention. But there's some things. First of all, this one has the entire crew that we will see later on in the show. So we have Captain Merrill, which is... Gavin McLeod. We have Bernie Kopel as the doctor or Doc, Ted Lange as the bartender, Fed Grady as Gopher, and Lauren Tews as Julie McCoy, your cruise director. So the whole staff is on the Love Boat. They also named this episode using the naming convention that later episodes would use, which is a terrible naming convention. I'm sure when they named it, they had no idea that 30 years later people would be trying to download this stuff off the internet, and it's horrible. But every episode has three, at least three plots that are intertwined, and so every episode is named with all three of those plots. So the actual full name on IMDb for this is The Love Boat, colon, The New Love Boat, dash, The Newlywed, slash, The Exchange, slash, Cleo's First Voyage. That is the full title of this episode.
Wow.
Again, it doesn't have as many good guest stars on this one, but this is really where they set, you know, the stage for what would become the TV series The Love Boat. So after this is when The Love Boat debuts. It's 1977. The show ran for 10 seasons, ran from 77 to 87. It was a ABC Saturday night show. It was followed by Fantasy Island. Those are both Aaron Spelling shows. And it was followed, when the show ended, there were two more made-for-TV specials that reunited the cast. But not all the cast came back for...
And that was 4 and 5?
Well, but they're not named that either! 4 is called Love Boat the Next Wave. Get it? Wave. And the fifth one is called A Valentine's Voyage. And that's in 1990. That seems crazy late to me for The Love Boat, you know? But yeah. So The Love Boat, the first ones are 76, and the last one is 1990. So this had one heck of a run. So before I get into too much more, I know I blasted you guys with a lot of data. Were you guys Love Boat fans? Did you watch it when it was originally on?
I do remember it wasn't like something where the family sat down and we're like, all right, The Love Boat's on. But I totally remember watching it at times. And I remember Fantasy Island being on after it. It wasn't like a thing we would sit down for every week. So, but I did see it. And then I can remember seeing it like in syndication years later. I don't know if it's like Nick at Night or something it was on. I would catch episodes here and there, but it wasn't a family favorite, but it's like one of those feel good shows, I guess. And now I look back and I'm like, Jesus Christ, as a kid, I'm watching this thing. You know, and I watched a couple of my 14-year-old was in the room, so I was like, all right, but I was like, God damn.
Yeah, it's definitely more adult oriented than I remembered, and especially for a Saturday evening. I mean, I think here this was a 7 o'clock show. What about you, Ferg? Did you watch this when it was originally on?
I think it was later. Oh, I think okay. It may have started at 10 when it first came on, because Fantasy Island wasn't, I think Fantasy Island came on the second season, so that went at 10, and then The Love Boat came on at 9. But I think I did watch this quite a bit. I remember watching a lot of episodes when I was a kid. Even in, I guess maybe by 1980, it was in syndication already. And I did watch this quite a bit. And I remember actually getting mad because they switched the theme song in the last season. So that would have been 87.
Yeah, there are a few different versions of the song. There's different versions of the actual intro, like how they showed the guest stars and things like that.
Yeah. So
lots of little things pointed out like that. I did not watch this show when it was originally on. I mean, I remember it being on, but no. I was pretty young when it was on, you know, so I'm sure my parents watched it, you know, so I probably maybe was in the room where it was on, and I was too young to get what was really going on, which was it really should be called, you know, Cruise Ship Staff Horn Dogs Sea Edition or something. I mean, it's literally
Doc, the Slayer of the Sea.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of the same way for me. I mean, it was, I think I was just probably around and it was on a Saturday night, and, you know, I was playing with my, you know, Star Wars figures or something, ripping their heads off, and my mom was watching Fantasy Island. But, you know, as far as the intro goes, because the ones we watch, I believe, were pretty much all from the first season. Did they start giving the characters names on the intro? Because at first it just say, you're bartender. You know, it didn't say
I don't know that they ever did that. I'd have to go back and look at some of the later ones. But, yeah, that was kind of the shtick up front was that, you know, it was just their roles, you know, who those people were. You had to wait till, like, I guess the end, you know, it would show I don't even know that it would show at the end. So I don't know.
No.
It did say Julie, you know, it would set her name as far as the cruise director, Julie.
She has a pretty interesting story. Now, everybody else that was on this show was pretty much already established actors. Of course, I knew Captain Steubing from Mary Tyler Moore. Some of the other people had been on other shows. But Julie was Lauren Tews, her real name, was an unknown actress. She was in Hollywood working as a waitress. And, you know, they had tried out like 100 people for this role. And the day before, I guess somebody associated with the crew went into this restaurant, saw her and said, that's the girl. And so she went from being a waitress the day before to being on this show, which, you know, ended up running for 10 seasons. So the good news is it was a huge break for her. The bad news is, if you know any history of her, is that they eventually kicked her off the show due to her raging cocaine habit. So she ends, I think season 7 is her last season. And I watched an interview with her and she said, you know, today in Hollywood, people either A, think it's cool for people in Hollywood to have drug habits, or B, you know, if it's a star, they send you off to rehab, they take care of the problem, and then you come back, you know. So, you know, if this were to happen today, you know, it would have been handled differently. But what they did for her was just basically ostracized her from the show. So she is.
They basically handle it like a normal job would handle it.
Right.
And didn't coddle her. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus. What they were. Sorry.
She also, if it happened today, she could have been dead, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, there's limited amounts they could get on the ship. You know, they only, when they go to dock, then they get, not the guy dock, but although that wouldn't surprise me either. So, I mentioned this in passing that every episode had at least three, different plots. I cut and paste this off of either IMDb or Wikipedia, but it basically said there were three storylines per episode. One would be focused around a member of the crew. One would be focused around a crew member interacting with a passenger. And by interacting, we mean having sex. And then the third storyline would be focused around a group of passengers or a passenger. And then it said each story normally had similar themes. So the one that was just around the member of the crew would be a comedy, and then the one that would be, you know, the crew member and the passengers would be sometimes a romantic comedy, and then the one that would just be with the passengers was typically more dramatic. One thing I did read was that each of the storylines would be written by different writers at different times, and they would throw them together. So there's a lot of, if you you know, like to pick out inconsistencies of the episodes or stuff, they're filled with them because, you know, it's people, passengers and crew members moving around in places and being in two places at once and all kinds of goofy stuff. So if you're if you're that type of person, Love Boat may not be the show for you if inconsistencies bother you.
Exactly.
Just before we talk, you know, so what I did was I just took some different episodes and I kind of sent them out, and I know not everybody got to see all the episodes because Sean asked me to send three and I was like, there's no way I can narrow it down to less than 37. I was like, there's so many good ones, but, so I narrowed it down to six or seven. I don't know. But before we talk about any of them, I want to just ask you guys like, Ferg, what were your general impressions of watching The Love Boat now? You know, as compared to maybe what you thought about it back then?
Well, I was prepared for it to be corny, and I was not disappointed with that. I did forget about all the I haven't watched it in I don't know how many years, probably even decades, but I had forgotten about all the sexual entendre in the show and all that kind of stuff too. And I still enjoyed it though. I mean, one thing I did notice with these old shows, you sent them the files were like 50 minutes long or even getting up to 51 minutes. And nowadays it's like 10 minutes shorter. So they crammed a lot more stuff into them. I know they cut some of that stuff out when they syndicated it, but even then it was still probably longer than shows are
yeah,
today.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think the humor holds up today?
No,
oh, no, not at all.
But I don't. I don't. No. I think that goes for. To be honest, I think it goes for most of the shows. You know, 70s, 80s shows. It was just a totally different. I don't want to say style of acting, just maybe of writing. And for me, you know, like Fergus, I kind of expected the same thing. I expected it to be that cheesy Brady Bunch kind of humor and stories. And like Ferg, I wasn't let down. It was, as far as all the, you know, the sexual, stuff in it definitely wasn't, I wasn't expecting that. And the other thing, it seemed as if I had this idea of this like happy crew. And again, I believe these are all from the first season, but there seems to be animosity towards, you know, the captain, and he kind of knows it. So that kind of like threw me off. I was like, oh wow, you know, it's not this big happy family that I think they do become like in later seasons maybe, but I did enjoy them. I did. I will say that I was watching some the other night, and my wife was in the room, and generally she wants nothing to do with any of this retro stuff. As far as like, well, as far as not so much the movies, but the TV shows, because I have Antenna TV, which is a channel that's all retro stuff. And she'll just be like, I'm not watching this. But for some reason, I don't know, she threw me a bone, and she was like, staying in the room, and she's like, okay, how many more of these do we have to watch? You know, she just can't take the cheesy humor, where I don't know, it's like a lot of this stuff, you know, I feel like I'm constantly bashing on the movies and everything, but as much as I'm like, yeah, it's cheesy, it just reminds me of being young, and it's just an innocence. Yeah. So I enjoy it. I enjoy watching these things.
You know, there's a perception, an overall perception, that TV has gotten raunchier over time. Things have gotten dirtier. And I think, I mean, overall, that's probably true. I mean, when I was a kid, we watched, you know, Popeye and Woody Woodpecker, and my kids want to watch South Park and Rick and Morty, you know. So I do think that a lot of those things have got worse, but I forgot how progressive some things were. And I mean, this is, like you guys said, I mean, there's some definite, you know, sexual innuendos and, you know, some jokes that, you know, when we were kids probably went over our heads, but, didn't this time.
No.
And didn't go over my 14-year-old's head either.
Oh yeah. You know, what's funny is, when we were on the cruise, like I was just landing, you know, I would, flipping channels, and it came on, and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this in forever, you know, and I'm watching it. And then I got hooked on an episode, and then I started watching another one, and I got hooked. And then the kids would come in there, and every now and then, you know, they're like, what's this one about? I'm like, oh, well, that guy works on the ship, and he's trying to have sex with everybody. I mean, how do you tell the kid that, you know? And then they're like, well, they, you know, then when we go out on the cruise later, they're like, hey, watch out for the doctor. You know, he's a little touchy-feely around here. I'm like, no, that's just on the show.
don't Susan's worry about like, God, Rob, I'm getting a sore throat. I'm going to go to that. No, you're not going in here for a week. Not without me.
No, yeah, or the bartender, or the gopher, or, yeah, all of them. Boy. So the first one that I sent out there, and if you guys got a chance to see this one, was actually the first TV movie, and that's considered to be the first episode of the actual show. That is the one called The Newlyweds / The Exchange / Cleo's First Voyage. And one thing, well, there are two things I hate about the naming standard. I just told you one of them, that they're impossible to say. I just thought of this. I wonder how they did that in the actual, like, the print, you know, TV guide. I wonder if they print that whole thing.
Oh,
it's probably wrap around like five lines.
Yeah.
This just kind of gives you an idea of like what the plots were like and who the you know, some of the guest stars on. The first plot is Captain Steubing's ex-wife, who's Bonnie Franklin from, was that One Day at a Time? She's his ex-wife, and she's now a cruise line executive. Her husband is a cruise line executive. And so they come on, and she's like, you know, basically being mean to the captain the whole time and saying she's going to get him kicked off the ship or whatever. It was a weird first story and first episode. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And you don't, I mean, you don't even know that it's his ex-wife until probably midway or a little past midway through the episode. You just, I mean, yeah. You obviously can tell there's some sort of history of sorts, but yeah, she's a total bitch to him.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, throwing the power of her new husband at him, to basically, yeah. You know, treat him, making him do things that he hasn't. Sounds bad, but she's just treating him like crap, you know. And then come to find out, she you know, she's got holding grudges from their marriage because he chose to do, you know, to be a captain of a ship, and she didn't want him to. So now she's married to a guy that's in charge of ships,
right? Who doesn't say a word until the end of the show?
Right,
you're a great captain.
That. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
The second story that's on there is Meredith Baxter, and what was her last name later? Meredith Baxter.
It was she was married to David Burney. I think they were. I don't know if they were divorced by this point or not. Or maybe they got married after.
Exactly. Yeah. Which was weird because in my head she's the neighborhood mom. You know what I mean? She's the mom on Family Ties. But her story is that
she's a whore on this.
She's not a whore.
She just was
right,
briefly
because
she needs to pay the rent.
And a centerfold model. And so this is what I liked about this story. Right. So she's a centerfold model. And so this is the – and by the way, you know how in the TV guide, like it would just say like a one-line synopsis of a show, you know? So yep. Here's the one-line synopsis. And this is cut right from that. A former centerfold model struggles to hide her past from her fiancé, who is a congressman. Who wouldn't watch that? I mean, that already sounds good. I'd watch that. I'd watch that right now. If that was on right now, I'd quit this podcast and go watch it. So this is what I liked about this episode. My favorite part is that when she gets on the ship, she finds out they're selling her porno mag. So part of the plot is that she's like, I have to buy all the copies. I'm going to tell you what. The cruise ship I was on was 15 floors. I mean, it was huge. I went on a lot of places. I'm pretty sure there was nowhere that sold adult magazines on the cruise ship. If so, I feel very ripped off that nobody told me that.
Okay, so the name of the magazine, wasn't it like Kitten or something like that?
I didn't notice.
Yeah. Well, Julie mentions it like, oh, we sell Kitten magazine or something, but it's like,
right. And who has the last copy that she has to go get?
Well, oh yeah. The doctor.
The doctor, he's got it.
Yeah.
And it's laid out by the
waiting
gauze all over.
Yeah. And then he goes, I've seen a lot of bodies and you have nothing to be ashamed of. I'm like, that's creepy. I don't want a doctor telling me that.
But no. You know what's creepy is at least he's like looking at it in his own privacy of his doctor office.
Right. I was going to say. Yeah.
There's like these guys on the pool deck. There's guys out on
the bar.
And they're like unfolding the centerfold. Just you know, smoking a cigarette on next to the edge of the boat, and I'm just like, really? Like, I don't know. I mean. I looked at them magazines years ago, and I didn't just do it out in the open.
Right, on a cruise.
That's more like a dock.
On our cruise ship, I'm going to say 1/3 of the people were kids. You know what I mean? And that's who was in the pool. Now, I guess now maybe the actual Love Boat, you know, is different. Maybe there weren't as many children on there or something.
I don't remember seeing too many, no, actually.
Just when they were guest stars, they would be on, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so we got that one. And then the third one is the first appearance of Jimmy Walker, who's, yeah. who's somehow I picked seven random episodes, and we got Jimmy Walker in two of them. But Jimmy Walker is wanting to now, he was from Good Times, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. And so he's dating a woman named Brenda Sykes. She's the real actor. She played Mandy on Good Times. They are dating, and she wants to get married, but he keeps – and by the way, the whole episode, he calls her woman. So yeah. He's like, I don't want to get married, woman.
Yeah, it's very romantic.
Exactly. Like, why would you want to marry a guy that calls you woman all the time? And then later is yelling at her from a tugboat with the megaphone. I love you, woman, he says. So that was a – oh, and he says, get off the boat, woman. So is there anything about these that stuck out that you guys want to talk about, or did we cover I wonder if they made an actual fake centerfold, what those people were looking at when they fold that out, like a picture of – I mean, you know, maybe she's in a bikini or something of Meredith Baxter. I bet that would sell like crazy on eBay.
You think so?
Like a fake episode of, what was it called, Kitten?
I believe it was Kitten Magazine.
Was this at the same time, had Three's Company come out by then? Is that why Suzanne Summers was
it
in this?
It has to be, because John Ritter was in the next one as well. So, right. Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah.
I have to check IMDb, but I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, she was wearing that skin-tight shirt when the woman gets into the cabin.
That's right. Like, oh, and geez. Yeah. So this is a weird thing, and maybe they do this on cruise ships. I mean, we've never done this, but so a lot of the episodes on this show feature two people that don't know each other who are put in the same room.
Yeah.
In this episode, it's this lady that's dating – you know, Jimmy Walker and Suzanne Summers. And of course, you know, every time she's like, I'm going to go out and go get a man. So I don't know why you're worried about Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, I found that part of the story. I don't know. JJ, he was driving me nuts. I was like, thanks, Rob. I got to watch two episodes of this guy.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a homely looking dude. And I don't know, his acting, well, I don't know, all their acting was kind of over the top, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, singling him out as a bad actor on this show might be might be going... but I like when they give a character one thing, you know, like a tag in fiction where you go, okay, this is something that this guy does. So what he does is call her woman all the time, you know. And he's like, I don't, why would you want to get married, woman? And I kept thinking, why would you want to marry that guy, you know? Which she eventually says.
She was clearly out of his league.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine anybody not out of Jimmy Walker's league, though. But it's the 70s, you know what I mean? I mean, when Doc is the hottest guy on the boat, maybe our hot dude meters are off.
Yeah. I got to tell you, too, like, the 70s style is just nothing good about it. Nothing good about it at all.
You know, they're like...
Like Suzanne Summers has got the skin-tight outfit on. But
not on the show, right.
I just... It didn't... I don't know. It didn't look that good. Yeah.
Yeah, that...
You didn't like Lauren Tweez's... What do you call it? Stop Making Sense suit that she was wearing, a big white suit. The flares everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There's some crazy outfits on here, and you're right. I mean, like, Suzanne Summers, I mean, she's wearing basically a skin-tight T-shirt with no bra on. It's very, like, you could do better, Suzanne. Like, I don't know. And I'm sure that was a, you know, it's not like they just said, hey, wear whatever you want. And we'll make it work. I mean, somebody – that was a conscious decision. Somebody said, you know, this is what you're going to wear. So, all right. Well, she does not hook up with Jimmy Walker. Don't want to spoiler. Next one.
There's actually a threesome between.
Come and knock on our door. And they,
the doc comes in. And
so this next one I sent because it's a good example of, you know, the three different types of plots. This one was called A Tasteful Affair / O'Dale / The Main Event. By the way, as Sean mentioned, I have gone through and acquired as many episodes of this as I can. There are about 250 episodes. There's some, a couple of seasons where people just haven't put the episodes out there. As I'm going through and watching them, it's so hard to remember where I was because, like, this episode is called O'Dale. What does that mean? I mean, it's not, you know, right. Like, you know, like, oh, it's not like, you know, the one where it says, we hit an iceberg. I mean, it's not a name that happened, like some event on the show. They're so generically named that, you know, I will have to start like four in a row and then finally get to one that I haven't seen. But if you've seen this one, you won't forget it because here's the first summary. A man, John Ritter, poses as a woman because the only available cabin mate was already occupied by another woman. So let's talk about how convincing John Ritter as a woman.
Well, even my 14-year-old, because Nicole kept saying stuff, and he's like, "Mom, it's comedy. It's supposed to be funny." I really enjoyed this episode, but I really like John Ritter. I like his humor. He's funny. He's physical with his humor, and so I actually this is probably my favorite episode of all the garbage. I mean, the ones that he sent us.
I know you can't. There has to be this suspension of belief when you're watching, especially sitcoms, because so many sitcom situations can be solved by a single, you know, act or conversation. So what happens is that the, you know, he doesn't want to be in drag the whole time, so he takes his makeup and everything off, and then ends up, you know, falling in love with the girl who is his cruise mate, but. Then, you know, he has to put the makeup back on and then they go talk and he's like, "Oh, honey, I'm sure he's a really nice guy." Where at some point he should just say, "Listen, I got a level with you. I know this is hard to believe, but I'm actually a man. I'm not really a 6'2" woman with a mustache." he doesn't, you know, there are men that can dress up like a woman and look somewhat convincing. You know what I mean? The whole time I saw this, I was like, he looks like a football player. He just looks like a big giant dude.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was that silliness.
And then of course you get one of the guys.
Oh yeah. You have to have that. Right.
Yeah. they
all liked her.
Yeah. Well, they should.
They were all smitten.
Here's the problem. They were all looking at Kitten magazine and then they're like, "Let's go find somebody who's single," and it's just John Ritter in a wig.
Did you guys watch The Walking Dead?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I wonder if somebody's going to bring that up.
I'll say she's on The Walking Dead.
Okay, yeah, spoilers. She just appeared as I'm watching it.
So. Yeah, she's on The Walking Dead, and if you watch that, she's I forget the name of the town that they're standing in now, but
someplace, is it Arlington?
Maybe, I don't remember. But
no, I can't remember. Somewhere, Alexandria.
Yeah, she plays Deanna. Yeah.
And also, this is on the IMDb trivia. If you look in the background of Walking Dead, you can see someone dressed as... I know.
Stop it. I was going to make the same joke.
I didn't even think about it. I was going John Ritter as a woman, but then I remembered he was dead and it was a bad taste. So, all right, I didn't make that joke. Sorry. Rest in peace, John Ritter. I love John Ritter.
Right. You know what? I do too.
My kids love Problem Child, which was like the.
I've never seen it. Yeah.
Sean.
The first two, it's really bad child actor, but John Ritter's the dad. My kids love that movie. Probably not how he wants to be remembered, like in his eulogy, no, like he was in Problem Child and some other things They're like, no. So, you know, he does bring the comedy. So that's the funny one of the three. Then there's a couple who is Sherman Hemsley and LaWanda Page, and I guess they are both from Good Times? Oh, Jeffersons. I'm sorry, yeah.
Was she on Jeffersons? I can't remember now.
I know the name. She was. I thought they were from the same show, but this is another – I mean, I guess to sum this one – well, it says, a quarreling couple is trapped in an elevator. That's the summary of their story, which they don't get trapped in the elevator until the end. So there's a lot more quarreling. But I don't know about you, but when I'm in fighting with somebody for a whole cruise, there's nothing that will calm that situation down more than getting stuck in an elevator with them. That's what I thought. And what it was a really dumb-looking elevator, too. like a bamboo.
Do you know what episode this is or no? Number wise,
I think it's episode two.
Is it okay? Because it seemed to like set kind of in motion the way at least the episodes we saw. You know, it's like you have the couple that's been married for a while and they're constantly bickering.
Yeah,
and
then by the end,
they're back in love.
Yeah, it's like the at the half hour mark, that's where the conflict starts and all through the stories. Yeah.
Because there was even one that we don't have on here where Mr. Drummond from Different Strokes was on one, and he's like supposedly locked in a room.
Oh, that's the last one. Yeah, that's the season two one that I put at the end.
Oh, I didn't see it on here.
Yeah,
sorry.
And then the third one, we kind of just skip over this one. This is it says a tycoon hires a detective to find out if his wife is cheating. Now that's Jacqueline Smith. Is she I didn't know the other guy.
And they were married either at the time or right after this.
I guess there was a lot of that.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
But, yeah, this one, I don't know, it didn't do. You could see it coming a mile away, you know what I mean? Like, the detective
the guy that's like, you know, hey, buddy, I'm going away for the weekend. You know, dude, keep an eye on my girl, right? Make sure nothing happens to her. You're like, yeah, okay.
Right. and then it's 45 minutes.
Nothing happened, I swear to God.
Yeah, and then at the end, he was like, he gave me a check. You know, because there's always that thing. And this is another, I don't know if I'd call it a trope, but something I saw in multiple episodes whereas, two people got together based on, for some, you know, reason, like a bet or they were paid or this detective thing. And then they fall in love. And then at the end, you know, the one person finds out that the other person was hired. And then they're like, no, but I really did love you. I gave the money back or whatever, you know. And I'm like,
it's just like the next one of the later ones.
I mean, they just repeat over and over, you know. So,
well, the other thing is, like, how long are they on these cruises generally? Like, maybe what, 10 days or something? Because a lot of people have just like, I can see, like, oh, yeah, you know, I like you, I like to see you again. But people are like, full fledged, like, I'm in love with you.
Right.
Yeah, right away.
Like, really?
Yeah. And if I mean, if everybody brings two suitcases on the trip, one of them has to be full of condoms. I mean, I mean there is so
much. It's the '70s, Rob.
Hooking up on this show. My God. All right. Well, let's see. Now, this is one that Sean, you had mentioned that you saw. I don't know if you got to see this one. This is the Message for Maureen / Gotcha / Acapulco Connection, and this is a good one. The first one is
it's got Uncle Milty in it. I can't believe you watch it.
I know.
Bill Bixby too. I should have read this before.
Bill Bixby is interested in this tennis pro, and she's in a wheelchair. And then he gets hurt, and he's in a wheelchair. And then he goes to Doc, and he overhears this conversation that, you know, she's like, well, I'm going to have an operation so I could walk again. And then Bill Bixby hears a conversation where the doc basically finds out that they can't operate on her. And then Bill Bixby's in the wheelchair anyway. And it's just like the other episode where she finds this out, and she's like, well, I'll never be with you. And then they're wheeling around in wheelchairs the whole time. And then, it was basically Doc got the wrong information. Is that how it ended, Sean? Where
Yeah. Because he was in contact with her other doctor, and you forgot the part where he got pissed off and turned green and ripped off all his clothes.
Destroy the wheelchair.
I don't think that was yet, was it?
That would be.
Oh, that wasn't the show?
Awesome.
I don't think that was. Oh. I think that was 79.
And it was Bill Bixby, and the tennis pro was Brenda Benet, and they were married at the time. So, yeah, oh, so she's okay. The tennis pro. Then we have two classic storylines. The first one is, this is what's listed on there, Doc falls for a C6 stowaway, and then in parentheses, Charo. This is the first appearance. Yeah. I watched this one with my children, and my son, after she was done with the first thing, he turned, looked at me straight face and said, "What in the world was that?" I'm like, "It's Charo." He's like, "What does she do?" I'm like, "She says Gucci, Gucci, Gucci a lot, and she shakes around," and he's like, I mean, it was literally, he wasn't confused in a funny way. He was literally, like, his brain was just like, what just happened? So I got to mention on this episode, Charo is trying to, just comes on board.
Trying to get to America.
Right. So she just jumps in the laundry thing and they wheel her on or whatever. Now and let me tell you, on our cruise, when we went to Hawaii, we got off the island one day, and I won't even talk about when we got off. When you get back on the cruise, there are people – first of all, there's a giant building that you have to go through. But before you get to the building, there are people that check your photo ID and your cruise ship card. And they look at the names right. And make sure those match. Then you go in and someone else checks your ID. Then you go through the TSA, the same line that they have at the airport. So you go and you put your bags on there, and if you try to bring a coconut – or a pineapple through the thing, they pull all your stuff out and like strip search you. So it's very like, you know, like it's nerve wracking, just like at the airport. And then you get through that. And then finally, when you get to the cruise ship, they take your card and scan it. And they have a digital scanner and it shows your face. And they look at your face and the face that's on their scanner. And then you're allowed on the ship. Okay. I just wanted to say that to repeat that Charo fell into a laundry basket and gets wheeled on the ship. They throw her off, and then she puts on a hat and walks back on.
Well, no, now, Rob, she had a hat on, but she also had, I believe it was a fruit basket that said, "For the doc."
And they said, "Are you the Gucci, Gucci, Gucci lady?" And she said, "No." And they let her on. So all I'm saying is that along with many other technical advances, we have made great strides in cruise ship security over the last 30 years. I was not.
Even in the first episode, J.J. Walker is like, woman, run onto the platform crossing and go for it. At one point, it's like, sir, are you a passenger? No, visitors have to leave.
Like,
and
he's like, why?
I will in a minute. I got to see my woman. And the gopher's just like, sir, there's rules.
Right. I mean, the other thing, you know, like I said, when we got on, we had to go through a line that took 2 hours where they checked our passports. When you go on this, there's somebody standing there with a clipboard and a piece of paper. And you go, I'm the Smiths. And they go, oh, all right. Welcome aboard. I mean, it just seems very lax. Yeah. I was very upset with Love Boat security. How are you supposed to know who you're sleeping with if they don't check IDs? It's ridiculous. And so anyway, at the end, they offer Charo a job in the entertainment spot, but it's not going to be on that boat because then she'd be on every episode. So they get her a job where she's going to go on another boat and Gucci Gucci her way across the seas or whatever. That's a silly one. But the third one, Sean, I got to get your feedback on this. The third one says, a practical joker plays one joke too many. The practical joker is Milton Berle. Mm-hmm. So, do you remember any of the practical jokes he pulled at the beginning of the episode?
Oh, he had like the finger and the electrocuting,
the buzzer,
like, vibrating finger.
They have some money on a fishing pole or something.
Money, yeah, $20 bill or something. He did like the can where you open the can or whatever, and the snakes, you know, spring out or whatever. And
his wife is sick of his shit.
His wife, yeah, did you real?
She's like, if you pull one more prank, blah, 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 right? And so he does eventually pull one more prank. You want to tell him what that is?
He pulls out his.
No, that's not a prank. No. That's Doc.
Well, if you listen to Gilbert Gottfried's podcast, there's a long, well, long, there, there's a,
long is right.
They're always referencing Milton Berle's package being huge.
Really? I've heard that for years, though.
But, well, they like bring it up like almost every episode about
him and Forrest Tucker.
Well, his final prank is that he pretends that he has jumped overboard. He throws his hat in the water, and he's like, watch how funny this will be. Everyone will think I'm dead. And everybody is like, oh, no, he's dead. But then they see him, and they figure out he's not dead. So they go, here's what we're going to do. We're going to prank him. So his wife goes back and leaves a suicide note in the room and says, I couldn't bear to live without you, so I jumped in the ocean too. Goodbye, cruel world. And Milton Berle goes, oh, no, what have I done? And then the door opens and they all go, surprise! And it goes, whoa, like that. I was like, you know, it's nothing funnier. April Fool's Day is coming up. And so if you don't have an idea for a good prank, here's what I want you guys to do. Write a fake suicide note. Leave it where your spouse can find it. And, I mean, I guarantee when you jump out later, they're going to think that's hilarious. There's nothing going to be funnier than that. And you say, hey, if Milton Berle could pull it off, why can't I? I can't imagine that this was funny. I mean, times and tastes obviously change, you know, of what people can joke about and you know, what's funny and what's not funny. But I was literally floored by the end of this episode. What do you think, Sean?
I did not care for this episode at all, any of the stories. I didn't notice at first either, but the woman that was playing his wife she's Mrs. Roper, but you didn't recognize her at first because she had like a short straight hair, kind of like a bob cut on Three's Company, she's kind of got the big curly fro-ish kind of hair. But, And I forget do you remember what his name was in this episode? Milton Berle is, I kept expecting her to say Stan, but she acted exactly like she would throw in a fit and everything. But I mean, in general, this episode, I was just like, all right, I'm over this. And then at the end, it's like, you find out that Milton Berle and his wife have this like 12-year-old son.
What?
Right.
Oh, my God.
I bet that kid is in therapy. So wherever that kid is, he's like...
Well, he starts squirting his parents, his mother in the face camera squirt gun.
Like father, like son. Wah, wah. Yeah.
This is... Having Milton Berle in this episode, and then in the next one, Phil Silvers is in. This is what I like about The Love Boat. It's kind of like a cross between people who were on TV then and like the originators of TV. And this was kind of like the 70s was kind of like the last gasps for them because there were all those, variety shows and stuff that kind of petered out in the 80s. And I think at that point, I thought all that stuff was corny. And I come back around, like, I think we even talked about this, Sean, on OTR once, that you know, we got at least a little bit of their talent and stuff in these shows, even if it was
absolutely. You're right. And, but I mean, even, I don't know, Milton Berle, I don't think I've ever really had a real fondness for him when I had seen him when I was younger. Anyways, he always came off as like a jerk to me, kind of.
Yeah.
And from what we've, again, referencing like Gilbert's show, they people kind of say he was in a sense. So
yes.
but yeah, Phil Silvers in the next episode, I was enjoying him, and I had him mixed up, because his voice, and I don't know the actor's name, but I can, he'd always be the one that, he'd be like, you know, he was in, Mary Poppins. He was the guy floating around. Oh, what the hell is this actor's name? But I had him mixed up. That's who I was thinking Phil Silvers was at first.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, you guys say that.
No, because like, yeah, no, it's the glasses. It's his those black glasses. Because I thought he was.
Yeah, and even his voice a little bit. Gosh, I can't remember, and I'm going to look it up right now because it's been driving me nuts.
There's a Disney actor that was in a lot of stuff that looks similar to this guy, and you guys may have not ever seen this, the Gnomemobile, which was a Disney movie, and it's that same actor where he's like, I think he's either a doctor or a lawyer or something in that movie, but it's that, you know.
Ed Wynn, that's what I'm thinking of. I was convinced. I was confused with Ed Wynn because he kind of has that. I was waiting because, you know, Ed Wynn would always say, you know, all the time. Like, yeah. It was like one of his things. So I was waiting for this guy to say it. And then I had to look up in the show notes and I'm like, oh, it's not him. But, I like that. Yeah. Episode.
This episode is. It's three stories, like all of them. The Captain's Captain, Romance Roulette, and Hounded, A Dog's Life. The first story, we
could just jump.
I thought two of these three were kind of dumb. And this wasn't my favorite one. But the first one, it says three women, Jane Curtin, Susan Heldfond, and Joanna Kearns. They basically hook up with three guys, and then – It's the same plot that we've already seen is where, you know, two of them are like, you know, at the end of the cruise, they're like, all right, guys, see you later. But, of course, Jane Curtin really falls in love with her guy. And then he overhears the other two girls. They're like, oh, what a fun game we played randomly hooking up with a guy. And then, you know, of course, they're like hiding under the stairwell like it always is in these dumb shows. This one was just like, I was like, ugh. And you know, I think of Jane Curtin as being an older woman. Obviously, she's not old in this, but in my head, she's older. You know what I mean? So I had a hard time mentally seeing her as Third Rock from the Sun. Yeah. It was hard for me to see her as a young, you know, teen or 20-something, just to put her in that role. If you got anything to say about that one, or what, we can move on.
I was just surprised to see her. She was the only one in that story, I think, that was billed at the front. I don't think Joanna Kearns was, and the guy who she was with wasn't either. But I was just surprised to see her because she was on Saturday Night Live at this point, and I just thought – it just didn't occur to me that they would be doing other acting.
Yeah, because you would think
work.
That would tie up a lot of their time. You know, obviously, maybe this was off-season or something. I don't know. Then we have the Phil Silvers one, the one that you guys like, the Captain's – it's the captain's father who shows up, and of course the captain is so stern that, you know, we're not sure what to expect when his father shows up. And then he ends up falling in love with a galley cook, which is – who's Judy Canova? Do you know?
I just looked her up. I know the name, but she was on old-time radio and then a bunch of movies back in the 40s and 50s.
And this is almost like – this is weird because, I mean, the gist of this is that this is almost like a verboten relationship because, you know, the captain's dad is mingling with the cook. So you
right. That was really weird.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you cannot mingle with the help. You can have all the sex you want with the passengers. That's totally fine.
Right.
Especially if you're 20 years older than them or whatever. No problem. But, you know, if it's a person that has a job, that would be terrible. So I thought this one was weird.
Plus the fact that she was the only one in the kitchen, too. And, you
well, maybe that was the problem. Like, we have one cook, Dad, and he took her away from the kitchen. Nobody can eat.
There was a chef or a cook at one point. He tasted the soup she was making, but
Oh, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like this one because his dad, you know, is very strict and it was a captain and everything. But, you know, he was kind of, I guess it seemed that he was forced out of his position because of his age. And she even says that she's going to be forced out of her age. So I kind of like this one.
Yep.
They kind of connected that way. They, you know, the separation of, you know, him being, I guess, you know, in his eyes, a more important crew member on a ship at one time to her being a cook. It's gone. It's just about two people that did something for so long that they love doing, and now, you know, they're both going to be out of it because they're getting older. So,
right. But here's what's odd about it is the captain, like, throws down these morals. You know what I mean? He's like, I forbid this, blah, blah, blah. But it's so weird where the morals are drawn. You know, we see that later. There's another episode with Isaac, the bartender, you know, and his mom shows up and ends up staying in a room with a guy that she's dating. And that's one of the whole side stories is, you know, that he's upset because two people that aren't married would stay in the same room.
Right.
But what a weird double standard for I don't know if he's seen any of the other 250 episodes, but pretty much that happens at least 18 times an episode. So I don't know. It just seemed, weird. And then the third story, first of all, as I just explained about the security, about getting on a ship, somehow a rabid dog
wasn't rabid.
was pregnant, boards the love boat. And of course we have a passenger get on and he's in a room, you know, they say, here's your room. And he goes, I'm not going to spend a minute in my room. I'm going to be out the whole time. And then he gets trapped in his room by this dog. He can't get the phone. He can't call for help. He is literally, stuck in the bathroom. And the passenger is, is it Gary Berghoff? Is that how you say his name?
Yep.
It's Radar from MASH, which was, when I watched this episode, I didn't look at the credits, and I could have sworn, and it's not exactly the right time. I thought this was who's the Peter Brady?
Really, Christopher Knight?
Yes, I thought that's who it was, like, because he looks like just a little bit older version.
Yeah,
you know.
That's
true. And then when I went and looked him up, I was like, oh, Radar. Of course, seeing him in normal clothes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it literally, I mean, this is a whole third of the show is him trying to get out, the dog barks, and that's the guy again.
I was curious about this because I know a little bit about him. I think he's big into animal welfare, so I wonder if he asked for this kind of storyline or something. I don't know.
Huh, that would be interesting.
I don't know.
I looked him up on Wikipedia, and basically it says nobody that worked with him had anything nice to say about him.
Right.
Which is weird because when you watch the show, that's not, you know, it's Hollywood, of course, but the impression that you get is, you know, that he's a nice guy. But I'm sure the dog liked him. I mean, the dog seemed to be. So, well, we are coming up on the hour line. So there's three episodes left. Is there, Ferg, did you see any of these last three here?
No, I did not.
Sean,
unfortunately.
Sean, is there one that you see on here that you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, when I you know, commit to doing a show, I come prepared.
My gosh.
You know,
oh, no. You can't be mean.
Except
to
for
guess,
tonight. if we're going to do one more, let's skip down to the last one. If we're going to, I mean, just because that is, we did mention J.J. Walker. That's of the last three, that's the only one I had seen.
Okay. Well, I'll recap the other two just real quick. One is, there's an advice columnist who's Eva Gabor, who gives everybody else great marriage advice, but ignores her own husband, who is Leslie Nielsen. So that's an interesting one. Then we have the chef, is outraged by the captain's taste because the captain wants to put ketchup on everything that the chef makes. And the chef is Al from Happy Days.
Yeah. I started to watch this one and he was driving me nuts.
Oh, it's goofy. Aww. Right. At one point he's like got a case of ketchup and he's throwing each bottle by bottle into the ocean. He goes, you want your ketchup, captain? Swim for it. So that's
rest in peace.
Right.
Al.
And of course this is the sitcom twist. And that one is that, the chef goes on strike because the captain is being mean to him. So they write, the rest of the crew write fake apologies from each one of them to the other one. And then they're like, oh, everything's better. And then at the end, you know, or, you know, or not the end, but they see each other and he's like, you know, it was really big of you to apologize. Apologize? I didn't apologize. You apologized. And then they're like, whoa, whoa, and they get busted. So
was that the half hour conflict mark?
Yes,
there?
Exactly. Right. And then, of course, there's a funny scene where the crew is trying to prepare the food. So you've got, you know, the captain, he's like stirring some batter. He's like, you know, and I mean, the whole thing looks like they could make one pancake out of whatever they've prepared. You know, it's silly. Let's see. There's there's one where there's a pregnant woman and she's getting a divorce, but then her, I don't understand this. In multiple ones of these, like, this lady is going to get a divorce. So she goes on a cruise and then she runs into her husband who is also on a cruise, which means two people that are married both took a cruise and didn't tell the other one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you. Sean, do you think you could just be like, hey, honey, I got to do something. I'm going to be gone for 10 days. And I can't tell you where, but I might come back with a sweet tan and herpes. So, but I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah, so, I don't think so.
Yes, yep. That one was dumb. Then there was this that other one.
Way to narrow it down.
This one, Isaac's double standard, one more time, and chimpanzee shines.
Yeah.
And you guys missed a good one by not seeing this, because Gopher gets tricked and he has to watch his friend's chimpanzee, who is also a kleptomaniac. And so the chimpanzee keeps stealing things from other people's rooms and ransacking rooms. But eventually they – and this is another scene where he's sitting in his room with the chimpanzee and all of a sudden everybody just comes walking in his room. I don't know. My cruise door locked. People had to knock. You couldn't just waltz into people's rooms. But they seem to be able to do this. This is the one with Isaac's mom. Shocks her son by sharing quarters with her boyfriend. And the mom is Pearl Bailey, who just seems like a nice lady. You know what I mean? She just seems really nice. And she slaps the crap out of Isaac. he's like, if you want to shack up with some guy. And it's boom. And he's like, oh, he's holding his mustache. She knocks the mustache off. It goes flying. Not really, but that'd be funny. So there's that one. And then, there's one where these two, people that used to be performers, they're fighting, but it's Don Adams. He's back in a different role, which you see, if you watch this show more than a couple weeks, you see the same people coming back over and over, in different roles. Right. Yeah. So anyway, so this, last one, is called Till Death Do Us Part, Maybe, Locked Away, and Chubbs. And this has some good stuff in this one. So, the first one, Sean, you want to talk about the Jimmy Walker one?
Yeah, it's like he died. I don't know if we ever know of what, but...
you know what he died from?
What?
Dynamite!
Thank you. Thank you. It's tough being a straight man.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. I knew you were going to say it, but I couldn't help it.
The lady, woman, what you got me that's ticking over here?
Boom. You know what? Doesn't he say that in the first episode because he's chasing woman and he's like, stop her. She's got a bomb or something like that.
Yeah. What?
I think he does say that. But anyways, yeah, we need to whip through this one. He's dead, but he can't move on until she basically meets somebody else and is happy. So he's chasing her, trying to push all these guys on her until she finally finds some stud, and now he's jealous. And
if Ghost starred Jimmy Walker. Another movie I would watch.
Yeah.
We have the divorced couple who get locked in a room, and they've brought their daughter and her husband on a cruise as well. So
Jamie
it's four
Lee Curtis.
People. Right, and the mom is Janet Leigh, which is Jamie Lee Curtis's mother. Yeah, she's Psycho. And then the mom is married to Conrad Bain from Different Strokes.
Mr. Drummond, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I don't know who the fourth guy was, but I was so excited Because I really want, when she was like, we're stuck in this room, I want him to go, what'd you talk about?
you know what's funny with that segment? I mean, this is another episode that I didn't really care for. But Mr. Drummond, like, because they're supposedly in like a part of the ship that's being refurbished or whatever. So they supposedly, and I say that because get locked in a room because they at the end of the episode they actually both knew how to get out, but they, you know, they were a divorced couple, right? That were gonna reconcile or whatever. So, but the next morning, that you could see like all the hobo makeup on his face to give him like that 5 o'clock shadow look.
Oh yeah, it's really, especially yeah, watching it now on a big screen, I was like, oh, it didn't look very good.
Yeah, yeah, but I think I guess if you got to pick one of the stories out of the three is the fact that Gopher's sister's on the ship and she wants to get with the Doc.
With Doc, right, of course. Oh, like, why would you bring your sexy young sister to hang out with Doc on the Love Boat? And like, go for it. You not watch the show?
Yeah, and his sister is Mary Ingalls.
Yeah, and she's...
Oh, Melissa Sue Anderson, yeah.
Oh, right. She's hot. She's pretty hot in this episode. And this was my favorite line from that episode, because Gopher says, well, my sister's nickname is Chubbs, and then... And then I think the captain, he goes, I remember her now. She's 5 foot tall in every direction. So there's that.
Wow.
Well, then she shows up and she's super hot. And So then they ask her, they go, well, how did you lose all that weight? And she goes, well, I just decided I'd rather have dates than ding dongs. And then Gopher says, and then well, now Doc's you got both. Perk up. Now you've got both. And then he goes, because the guys you're dating are ding dongs or something like that. But I was like, that's not what that line meant. Like, I totally know. Right. And then, of course, as you can imagine, she gets caught kissing on Doc. And then this is the only girl in the history of this entire show that Doc doesn't sleep with.
Yeah.
All right. And he's like, because this is the thing, is like, yeah, they make out at the beginning, and then and then at the end of it, she has her 18th birthday.
Oh,
right.
Lord.
So now he's hooking up with. It's that one is a little creepy, you know. So we watched some Love Boat. I wish we had enough time where I would send you all 249 episodes, and we could talk about every single one of them. But as I think you get the picture that there were a ton of stars on the Love Boat. I mean, every week there were multiple stars. And so I've put together 5 questions here, and then I've got a good tiebreaker for us. So it's going to be kind of like a pick one or pick the other kind of situation. Neither Ferg nor Sean have seen these, but I'm going to ask you, which of the following people made guest appearances on the Love Boat?
Oh no.
All right. So let me see and put Ferg here for a score. Sean here for a score. Okay. So the first one that I have here, and we'll just kind of alternate in orders or whatever. So I'll let Sean go first. Sean, between Earth, Wind, and Fire or the Village People?
Village
Which
people.
Of those two groups? You're going right with Village People.
Yeah.
Okay. Ferg, what about you?
I think I'd have to go with the Village People,
right.
Too.
Ding, ding, ding. You guys are both right. Village People, all of them, all appeared on one episode. But sadly, Earth, Wind, and Fire did not. Seemed good. Okay, Ferg, you're going to go first this time for a second question. I'm going to give you 3 names, and you tell me the one person who did not appear on the show. The all 3 right. people are Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, and Reggie Jackson. So which of those 3 did not appear?
Did not appear. Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Okay, Sean?
Yeah, I can see a young Janet Jackson, and that's like Reggie Jackson's prime time then. So I'll go with Michael.
This quiz is turning out to be incredibly easy. It was Michael Jackson did not appear. Janet Jackson is on there. Reggie Jackson's in the first season. He appears oddly enough, playing a famous baseball player.
No kidding.
Who goes on the cruise ship and wants to be anonymous.
Huh.
So Isaac helps hide him. But then when nobody recognizes him, he decides he would rather be famous. Which wouldn't we all? All right, number three, I think we're back to Sean this time. Here's a little Cheers trivia for you. Which one of these two actors appeared on The Love Boat? Is it Ted Danson or Kirstie Alley?
Ooh.
Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley, okay. Ferg?
Yeah, I picked Kirstie Alley too.
All right, well, we might as well just give everybody 5 points because this is ridiculous. Kirstie Alley was on the show and Ted Danson wasn't. Big whoop, who cares? Everybody knows the answers. Can you guys see my screen over here? This is terrible. All right. And now we get to the easy ones. I thought those were the hard ones. All right, Ferd, who was on the show, Corey Haim or Corey Feldman? And this is hard because most people get them mixed up anyway.
Corey Feldman.
Was or was not?
Was. Corey Feldman was.
Yeah, definitely Corey Feldman.
Well, of course, everybody's right, so there's no reason to even talk about that question. All right, Sean, and we're definitely going to have to get to my tiebreaker here. Sean, number five, which of these two people appeared on The Love Boat, Hulk Hogan or Mr. T?
Oh, Mr. Ooh. T.
All right, Ferg?
I'm going to go Hulk Hogan.
Oh, my gosh, Ferg takes the lead.
Oh.
Hulk Hogan does appear on The Love Boat, but you guys have a chance to catch up because this is the tiebreaker and it's worth 1,000,000 points. So whoever gets this has a chance to take the lead. There are 9 major actors on the Brady Bunch. And we're talking 6 kids, mom and dad, and Alice. How many, I'm going to give you guys a second to think about it. How many of those 9 people appeared on The Love Boat?
All 9. The whole family went with Alice because you always take your housekeeper with you on vacation.
Sean's going all camping. 9. It might. That's true. Ferg?
And Hawaii.
Let's see. I'm definitely the adults. Eve Plum, I think, was in one. I don't think Marie McCormick was in. That's 4. I don't think the little kids. 6.
Well, Ferg gets it exactly right, of course. He gets all 5 and the tiebreaker, so the final score is 1,000,005 to 4. So Sean is in a distant second place. Florence Henderson, Robert Reed, and Ann Davis were all on the show. Barry Williams was not on the show. Greg Brady was never on.
Oh, that's surprising.
Mike Lookinland, Bobby was never on the show. And Cindy, Susan Olsen, was never on the show, but all Peter, Marcia, wow. And Jan, where Marcia is on one where she is a, they're in a beauty pageant.
Oh, and she's a centerfold.
She's going to win, but it's like for innocent girls, so they can't have boyfriends or anything. And her boyfriend comes on the cruise, and when they catch her making out with this other guy, she loses her spot. And I think Charles might be in that one, too.
Charles in a lot of them. He's probably in every other episode.
So 6 of the 9 Bradys were on there. Final score, once again, Ferg, 1,000,005. Sean, 4.
I got to tell you, this episode has gone way longer than I even anticipated a Love Boat episode would go.
So here's my – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, when you were tweeting about this originally, watching The Love Boat on the ship, and it just and we're talking about doing a podcast about it, I was like, oh, man, if there was any way possible I could do a podcast about The Love Boat, I would definitely do it. And I tried to come up with ways where I would not have to invest any time besides recording time.
Right, you know.
I could not figure it out.
You know, maybe even like watching one like in real time. You know what I mean? And recording.
Yes.
Because there's too many. I mean, and even if you did one a week, that's 5 years. And I just can't dedicate 5 years of my life to The Love Boat, you know. But so one thing I always do at the end of the show is I have a section called A Cultural Impact where I talk about any toys or things that were released that tie in with the show. There were Love Boat action figures made by Mego or Mego, I don't know. I never know how to say Mego. They are the same scale as Star Wars figures. Now, they were released in the U.S. and also in Canada, and they're slightly different. I believe the ones in Canada, the knees bend, but the ones in the U.S. don't. But there's six figures, so you can get Stubing, Doc, Gopher, Julie, Isaac, and Vicky. And they also sold the biggest, giantest ass Love Boat ship toy that you've ever seen in your life. This is like on scale with that stupid G.I. Joe
hair. I was just
going to
ask you if it was as big as the aircraft carrier.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me tell you what. On the one that I'm bidding on, shipping is like, what? Shipping is like $33. It is like a cutaway of a ship, and everybody has their own room, which would be like to scale of a 3¾-inch action figure. I mean, it is so amazingly.
Gosh.
I have no idea. If I win this thing, which would be crazy if I don't, because I already have the six action figures coming.
You did it.
What are they going to do? Hang out in Hoth? I mean, they got to have a ship to be on, you know? I don't even know where I would put this ship. It is so giant. I also talked at the beginning of the show about downloading the episodes. I don't download episodes of a show if it's available for purchase. The first two seasons of this show are available on DVD, and I did buy those. Originally, they were charging over $100 for two seasons, right? Wow. Which is like no. So the problem becomes, nobody bought it because the price was so high,
right.
and because nobody bought it, they didn't release any more. So it seems like they're not going to release anymore, but Amazon has lowered the price, so you can get all four DVDs. Each season is in two different, it's split in half, but you can get all four of them in one package now for $39.95. So that's what I paid. There's no extras on it. And there's like a commercial, there's a trailer, you know, but like no commentary tracks or anything like that. So lots of them are available on YouTube. If you just want to go quench your thirst for some old Love Boat episodes, you can go watch them there and stuff. I wish they were all on DVD because, to be honest, some of the later seasons, like season 9 and season 10, don't seem to be available, you know, out there. They're just...
Yeah.
Hard to find, and you know that people didn't record them at that. You know, by I think by season 9, you either watch it once a week or you're done with the Love Boat. You know, I don't think people are still taping it at that point. But and then the last thing I had here is when we started talking about the Love Boat, a little news link that a lot of people sent to me. You know, these cruise ships are only good for so long. You know, the Love Boat, as far as cruise ships goes, was actually pretty small, you know, compared to the ships that they have now. So they sold it to a company, and then they sold it to another company, a Turkish ship recycling company, and they did decommission the ship. This place bought the Love Boat for 2.5 million euros, which is a little over $3 million, and the Love Boat was finally disassembled and sold for scrap. So, and I bet it took some amazing stories. Well, of course, they're all made up. But if the stories were real, it took some amazing stories. I bet, you know what I would have loved to do? I just thought of this. If you could go over that thing with a black light, I bet you could see it from the moon. I bet that thing glowed. Yeah. But the
you just
Love
would see one
no
glow,
more.
And that would be the doc's room.
Yeah, let me a little update. In 1978, when season 2 was happening, Bernie Coppell, 45 years old. Melissa Sue Anderson, 16 years old.
Wow, so almost three times, yeah. And, I mean, there's just some steamy, you know, and, you know, if you're 16, your parents are probably on the set. You know,
yes.
So they're like, what do you want me to do now? Oh, make out with the oldest guy on the crew? Sweet. But don't worry, he's a doctor, and he's seen a lot of stuff, as we found out on the other episode, where he keeps porno mags in the lounge of the doctor's office. So I'm sure it'll be fine.
Right.
I'm sure he has a lot of integrity. Don't touch his stethoscope. So that is, are you guys love boated out? Are you done with the love boat? Or are you with me?
No.
We only covered 7 episodes. That means we've got 242 left to go. And every week.
I think for me, I'll watch it if I'm like flipping channels and it's on like a retro station. I will definitely watch it. But as far as being like, hey, Rob, can you show me it? No, I'm probably not going to do that.
No. Are you burned out on it or are you just?
Yeah, I think so. And it could be because I was like cramming the past couple of days maybe, but.
Right.
And you know, they all just kind of merged together. Like I was saying, I watched one. I think we were talking before the show. I think I watched one. And it was the first one I watched like a month ago. And I just, they just all kind of run together, you know?
Yeah.
What?
It's like junk food. It's not good for you, but it tastes really good at the time.
Yeah. And so I'll watch it if it's on, and I'm sure it will be on. I get a couple of good stations, so I'll watch it if it's on.
We, have a media server, so I have all my stuff that I rip, you know, DVDs or whatever, and I put them on the media server so I can stream them to the living room or to the bedroom. And so every night since we got back from the cruise, or what, that was my goal, was to watch one episode every night, you know, instead of watching whatever else would be on TV. And I think I made it to like episode 31 maybe or something, which is still in the first season. And I was like, man, I'm starting to see the same people. I'm starting to see the same plots. Yeah. I'm starting to see the same jokes. I'm starting to get turned on by Doc. And I just, you know, it started to get repetitive. And I got 9 seasons to go. You know what I mean? So I think I may be a little burned right now. But when those toys show up, I'm going to catch my second wind, I hope.
Well, I wish you luck.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah, I want to watch more. I want to find my favorite one. Do you guys have a favorite one?
Well,
the one that just ended.
You know, I did watch. I mentioned there was one where it was kind of like a Christmas episode. There's a few of those. The one where Captain, it's a good episode, but it doesn't really match the tone of most of the other episodes. But there's one where a guy that used to be somehow related to a woman that Captain Steubing used to date. And he comes on, and this is the first one where we meet Vicky, who becomes a regular in season 2 and goes all the way through. But it's Vicky. Right. I mean, she's billed as Vicky Steubing. At that time, we don't know if they're related or not, but there's, you know, kind of these tender moments where they're talking and everybody says, yeah, they, you know, she's got your eyes and all this. And they have these long conversations, and it just kind of gives you a little bit of depth to the characters. And I don't think you probably get that on too many episodes. So I did like that one, but I don't know. There's, you know, lots of silly slapsticky ones too that are good.
Yeah, my favorite one that I remember from being a kid, I know I saw it in syndication quite a few times. I don't remember the other two stories, but the one story that really stuck out for me was the, I think it was Artie Johnson and Pat Morita play painters, and they're painting Captain Steubing's office. I just remember that being so funny when I was a kid. I want to see it again, but I'm kind of afraid because it probably won't be as funny as it was.
You know, what's funny is they aired that one when we were on the cruise ship, and it's that's one of the stories. It's Pat Morita. Who's the other guy? Yeah, and they keep getting everything wrong, you know. So like they say, you know, paint, you know, my office blue, and then they paint the hallway blue, and he's like, no, it was my office, and then they paint it chartreuse, and he's like, I thought you said chartreuse, but then the episode right after that they aired was Pat Morita in a different role, you know, and so you're like, is he still the painter or what's the deal, you know? So I, you know, they did that a lot back then.
They did a lot on just shows in general.
You know, Ferg and both of you guys had a good point earlier. When you watch some of these, there are two different categories of actors. You have people who were popular at the time, you know, like bringing on girl from Little House on the Prairie and J.J. Walker, those type of characters. But there also is, you know, almost that respect to the old television stars, you know, where they, those guys that, cut their teeth on, you know, the early days of television and radio and some cases, and bringing those people back and letting them, because this really is the last forum for these people. You know what I mean? I mean, once you get into the 80s sitcoms and when the variety shows die out, they just, there wasn't anywhere for them to go. So this is, this era is the last time to see some of those people. And they're older, you know, Cloris Leachman and Milton Berle, seeing them in this setting is different than, you know, when they were in their prime. But it's good to see them one last time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to watch all of them tonight. I'm going to start right now. I've got, I'm going to take off work. I've got some speed, and I'm just, I've got a muscle
a lot
through.
Of Red Bull.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, that'd be 240 something hours. So what's that, 10 days straight? I think I could do it.
Well, good luck with that, Rob.
You could join me. Come on, man.
No, I can't. I have to work. I got to work, man. Well, I think that that's probably going to cover all of our Love Boat.
I got to say, I feel like I got it out of my system. You know what I mean? Like I saw it on the cruise ship. I was excited about it. I downloaded a bunch. I watched them. I was excited about it. We got to talk about it. I was excited about it. I feel like I don't need, you know, to keep muscling through an episode a night. Like I might slow it down a little bit, maybe once a week or something. But
no, they were fun to watch. They're fun to watch. And I mean, there was like half of them that were just like, you know, half the story. I was like, all right, I do without this. Let's focus on this one. But I mean, it was fun. I really liked the John Ritter one. It was definitely fun. So, and, you know, it's just, it reminds us of being a kid, and at least for me. And that's why I like most of this stuff. I mean, and I know I come on here and probably half of the stuff, if not more, I'm like, oh God, it's complete garbage now. But even though it's, even though like I watch something now and I think it's shit, it still gives me that feeling of, you know, back when I was younger, watch. You understand what I'm saying? It's like it doesn't have to necessarily stand up for me now. I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, I love 80s stuff, so, and say it's good if I really don't think it is, but I still have an attachment to it as a kid. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like, you know, watching this stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. It takes you back to that time, even if you don't have a connection with a specific episode. It's like having a connection with that era. You know, it's just a different, like you said earlier, a different style of comedy, a different style of writing. And, you know, there's a lot of cartoons and stuff now. I mentioned earlier that I don't really feel comfortable with my kids watching. But now I think, you know, maybe they don't get all those jokes that I get, because when I was a kid, I thought this was a completely innocent, fun show. I certainly, you know, didn't pick up on a lot of that stuff. And so I'm hoping that my kids don't pick up on a lot of the stuff I watch. By the way, Ferg, if you're looking for something to go find later on season 1, episode 12, the summary is: a curmudgeon strikes up a friendship with a runaway teen. Which sounds dirty right off the bat. Julie's old boyfriend, who, by the way, is Anson Williams, rebuffs her advances. And that's because this is another episode where if he would say, by the way, I became a priest – at the very beginning, then it wouldn't run for 50 minutes. It would just be the end of the episode.
Right.
And two inept painters, Artie Johnson and Pat Morita, make a shambles of the captain's cabin. So season one, you can go track that down.
That was season one, huh? Wow.
So, good times on the Love Boat, but I got a feeling this topic is sailing. Toot, toot.
It's going down like the Titanic.
No.
Well, Ferg, thanks again for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me. It was great. I love talking
to
you guys.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again. Hopefully, maybe a better topic. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you say that
every
time.
I know, I do, don't I? I don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, people are like, what the hell is this guy bother doing this shit for? But
we got to do Fantasy Island next. We'll have him back.
No, we're going to wait. Actually, I have some ideas of some movies that I feel like I should have seen and I haven't seen, so I'll have to talk about it this week. But but anyways, Ferg, why, give your plugs of places, and I'm sure everyone, I mean, everyone knows who Ferg is that's listening to this, but just in case someone stumbled upon us and doesn't know, where can people find stuff that you're doing?
You can find all my stuff at 2600 Game by Game podcast.blogspot.com. All the links are there for my show, and I also do a couple other shows, Please Stand By with Kevin and Intari Visions, where we discuss the same game over a different platforms of the classic era, I guess you could call it.
Cool.
That's it.
And you can find 2600 for part of the network. Actually, I think,
yes,
actually the original member other than our show on the Throwback Network.
I think so.
Really?
I think so.
It's pretty early on.
Wow. Yeah. I'm very happy to be a part of the network. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we like having you. Rob, what about you? You've been doing a lot of podcasting lately.
Yeah, I'm alternating every other Monday. So every other Monday I do You Don't Know Flack, and then I do Sprite Castle. By the way, on the latest You Don't Know Flack, I put kind of a surprise ending at the end of the podcast. That podcast has that episode right now, I think. It came out Monday. Has about 600 downloads. About three people mentioned the ending, because I don't think people don't listen all the way to the end when you start talking
and
the credits.
Two,
you
know? To three are on the show right now.
Yeah. They're all right here. So that was good. If you got a little jolt or a surprise, then
oh my god, you know, I scared to death.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I got a hold of him and yelled at him.
Sean and I have talked about this before. You know, when we did Children of the Corn. And then later he messaged me and said, you know, we're grown-ass men, and I think a tree had fallen nearby.
Yeah,
is that
we
right?
Had a storm. Yeah.
Yeah, and someone was, like, using a chainsaw, and he was, like, kept looking outside, you know. I'm sitting here in my room in the middle of Oklahoma, upstairs, a house nothing could possibly get me, and I'm doing a podcast about UFOs, and then I start looking over my shoulder. I'm like, just to make sure that there's no, you know, aliens coming, you know, in the closet. Like, I got to look under the futon to make sure there's no gray alien. And it's just so ridiculous that we scare ourselves like that, you know?
Yeah.
We're but, wimps.
Yeah, you can find my stuff. You can go to all my shows are at RobOHara.com/podcasts, or all my shows are on throwbacknetwork.net.
All right.
That's it.
Good stuff. You can find me here, obviously, and you can find me at my other show. It's a running podcast. It's the Average Runner Podcast. You can find that at theaveragerunnerpodcast.com. And as far as our show here, you can, if you want to get a hold of us, you can send us an email at throwbackreviews@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Throwback Reviews Podcast. Just do a search for that, and you'll find that. Might be in the show notes, but I don't know if I'll remember. I always say I'm putting stuff in show notes, and I never do. So, also part of the Throwback Network and Twitter. I said this before. I don't even know why I even say it. It is at Throwback Review, but it really is a lot of just my running stuff. It's kind of my own Twitter, and I just named it Throwback Review. But you can leave us a voicemail if you want at 716-243-2709. And I think that's it, guys. Rob?
Amazon.
Yes. Amazon. If you want to help support the show, and not only the show, but all the network, you can use our affiliate. It won't cost you anything more. It gives us a little kickback from Amazon, and that is throwbackreviews.com/Amazon. Thank you, Ferg, for reminding me, and thank you to everybody that has been using it. It does add up, and it is greatly appreciated. So I guess until March, since we're trying to get a show out every once a month, I think that's going to wrap it up. Rob, you got any last things, or are you good?
I was really hoping we would all sing the theme song together, but now that
you know, Ferg is a musician. Ferg, give us,
no,
come on,
it.
Just give us a little bit, Ferg. Ferg, come on. You sing on other podcasts.
Love Exciting and new. Come aboard.
All right.
We didn't mention that that was written by Paul Williams, Little Enos from Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, thanks for singing us out. I appreciate that. For maybe you can pick up your guitar and send us an audio clip, and we'll play us out with that. So.
Sure.
But all right, we've been doing this way too long now for the Love Boat. So thanks everybody for downloading, and until next time, thanks for listening.
Toot, toot.
If you'd like to contact the show, you can send us an email at feedback@throwbackreviews.com or leave us a message on our voicemail at 716-243-2709. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/throwbackreviewspodcast and Twitter at @throwbackreview. And don't forget, we're also part of the Throwback Network. Go to throwbacknetwork.net to find more retro podcasts. Holy shit, that was one fucking episode. God damn.